Okay, here we are. It's the first episode of Pins and Vids. I'm Al Warner. I'm your host for this show, and I wanted to thank you all for downloading and tuning in and listening to my show. It's the first of our shows, and I expect to be hopefully will be the not be the last of our shows. What we're going to do today, and the purpose of this whole thing is to discuss some of the current topics of pinball machines and video games. I am a big time collector. There's a lot of other people out there who are bigger than me as far as collecting goes, but I'm a very avid collector of arcade games, pinball machines, video games. We're not talking about console machines here. Mostly, we're talking about the arcade machines that you can actually play in the arcade. My personal collection and personal likes and dislikes are I happen to be I like to like the more modern pinball machines, and I also find them to be much more exciting than some of the older ones. Not to say that I don't find some enjoyment in the older machines. I even own an electromechanical machine myself, an older machine. But basically, and I also like the classic video games that were most predominant around the 80s. The 80s, beginning of color, basically, is about this, to me, is among the best era of games in the video range. So we're going to be, I'll probably be concentrating those areas. Not to say there's some more of the modern games information won't pop into here. And if I see something really, really good, I'll bring it in. What I want to do is to really is to get a lot of input from people out there. And I need input. I need what you want to hear, what you want to discuss. We can even, take clips. I'll read email that I get that relates to this, the show. If you send me an email, it's the web page, the email address is right there off the web page that you use to download this from. I also want to plan to do some interviews. I know a few people in the collecting arena, mostly like local collecting arena, but I was thinking it'd be good to try to, if I find myself in some other towns across the country that I would drop by and pay some visits to some people. We'll do that. And I also can do some internet interviews, which I'm planning on. I've got an idea on how to do that. Let me quick little rundown what I my personal collection is. I have a like I said, I'd say a modest collection compared to some others, but bigger than some others, I guess. My current collection in the pinball arena is Doctor Who, Getaway, Addams Family, Creature, Rapid Fire, which is like a Bally ripoff of Hyperball, and Four Aces. That's my electromechanical pinball machine. In the video range, I own the Star Wars, Battlezone, Dig Dug, Asteroids, Tempest, Ms. Pac-Man, Magic Sword, and Ameri Darts. Both of those are last two are conversion games. So that gives you an idea of what I collect. I'd like to hear from you in email or other ways, what you collect. That'd be interesting to know, and we'll add it to we'll have a discussions on it. If you have anything you want to add, we'll there's a lot of ways we can do this through voice clips and things like that. We can start adding them in. The show came out of I was kind of big on the emulation scene. I kind of like the a lot of the things the emulation scene has brought to the table. A lot of dead or nearly dead games have resurfaced in the emulation world to be seen once again. There doesn't need to be another emulation radio show. There are two that I know of, and there's probably more. Links to those will be on our web page as far as how to get to them and listen to them. They're pretty much populated pretty well. I'm pretty happy with what's out there, and I wouldn't want to do what they're doing. But then again, they don't collect arcade games like I do, so that's why I figured it'd be good to kind of bring us the collectors into this little realm. We will be passing on some other information as we go along. I'd like to talk for a second about kind of a personal issue. It's kind of semi-personal. About 2 years ago, I wrote a document piece of documentation. And it was called. It's affectionately known as the CapKit 101. And what that purpose of that was is that it was how to install a capacitor kit into your video games monitor. What this does is gives you a clearer picture, better, much clearer picture. Usually, does a lot for your monitor. What happens is over time, capacitors dry out and become, unusable. The resistance levels, I guess the capacitance actually is the best way of putting it, changes on them. And what you want to do is get it where it belongs, so the monitor looks and works, and everything works better on the monitor. What I did was I wrote instructions on how to install this. The instructions that came with the different cap kits, and the most popular source for these is Zanon Electronics. And my explanation in my page explains how to contact Zanon to get the cap kits. Because there are some dangerous portions of that installation, and just some general knowledge you need to know before you install something like this, I figured I'd never seen it all in one place, so I put it together, and I got some people who really knew how to do it, because I've done it, but I was kind of like I'm not an electronics person, I don't know much about it, to be honest with you, and I got Roger Boots, who is full of great information, knows his stuff. His guesses to me are like, better than you're going to get out of textbooks, he's the kind of guy that if he says something, he's pretty much close to be right on the mark. Well, he had helped me edit it, and he volunteered, and he helped me edit it, and it came out great, and it's been pretty much the de facto standard for some time. Well, up on the Vector mailing list, which is I guess another link I'm going to add to our page, how to get on the Vector mailing list, there on the Vector mailing list there was a little bit of a note. There were some things about, another web page, which had information on how to install a cap kit. And his explanation on how to install a cap kit, he tells you how to discharge the monitor to avoid you getting, 20,000 volts going through your body, even when the monitor turns off. He uses a method which is not the standard method. And I didn't make the method up. Somebody else outside in the ether, in the cartridges of time, has decided this. This was built long before I came on the scene. My point being is that the method that he put up there, and I will make a link to the page with an explanation as to why not to follow these directions. But these are dangerous. Okay, his instructions on how to discharge the tube in his first portion of his thing, he says, don't try this. He says, if you decide to try it after I tell you not to, then you're on your own. Well, for the most part, good, nice little disclaimer, but, the truth of the matter is he's not giving good information out. I understand where he's coming from. I understand where his thought process is at, but he doesn't have any facts back to the thought process. And my CapKit directions will reflect what the differences are and why that it's done the way it's done. I never been asked that question before as to why it was discharged that way. I have been asked the question of where does the charge go, and I think the explanation that I'll be putting into the CapKit docs, which was supplied by Roger Boots, will give us a better explanation as to that. Okay, enough of my little rant. I guess we do call it a rant, but I guess that's it's a personal kind of thing, and I don't condone anybody for doing what they think is right. It's just that it can be, it can be dangerous to some people. And I guess I really shouldn't, be putting down what other people say.
Dirty pool, old man. I like it.
All right, Gomez. But it's just the way I feel about it. Okay, let's move on to the next. Next portion of our program. Basically, I wanted to talk about the future of pinball. Well, here we go. Jeez. It's been an interesting little couple of months, hasn't it? I guess since, Williams has closed the shop. The general rule of it, what generally happened is, I guess if you're a video game guy, you haven't heard all the details about this, but what happened was Williams, about a couple of months ago, pulled the plug on pinball. They've been producing these new Pinball 2000 machines. Their last dot matrix machine was called Cactus Canyon, and they produced Return from Mars, and they produced Star Wars Episode 1. Both of these are in the new Pinball 2000 format, which is actually a kind of a neat concept. It's got a picture tube, television, video screen kind of thing in the top portion of the back box, and that actually reflects right onto the playfield. So you're actually playing against the items in the playfield, and it's kind of neat because you're actually seeing the reflection, so you can shoot the ball at things that are on the video screen, which is kind of pointed down onto the playfield, and then the reflection of what you see is, you know, kind of on there. It's been described as a hologram, but for the most part, really, it's just a reflected image. It's pretty cool. It actually is very cool. I think it's really neat. It's a shame that the company is decided to pull the plug. What they've really done was they pulled the plug for a reason. I think the real reason was is that they found they could make more money off of things like slot machines and things like that. So that's what it was all about. So I think the real, you know, that's the real reason. Thank you, Gomez. That's what it's all about. I mean, it's a matter of the fact that they've found a better, you know, method of making money, and that's what the bottom line is. Pinball isn't making any money right now. I think it would have probably had a good chance with Williams if they had just given it a little chance, you know, given it a little bit more of a shot at it. You know what I mean? But hey, maybe we'll hope for the best. Another interesting little thing that happened in the course of that was that while all that was happening, Sega Pinball was purchased by Stern. Now, let's go back in history a little bit here. Let's go way back in history. There was another pinball company, There's quite a few pinball companies. We had Bally and we had Williams, and they both merged late 80s, early 90s, and became one company under the Williams name, Bally Williams name. All along the time of history, we've seen this company called Chicago Coin came out. They were making games for some time, and Chicago Coin was sold to Stern, who made games like Stars and Nugent. These are some of the titles you might remember from the old days of Stern. They were both pretty popular games in their days. Orbiter, which is a very unusual game, very unlike almost any other machine ever made. Stern ends up selling out the company to Data East, who made games like Simpsons and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on the pinball machine, mind you. They ended up their run with the last game that they made was sort of the game Maverick. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but based on the movie. And Maverick was made, and what's interesting about Maverick, if you ever see one, is the fact that it has no copyright name or information on the actual machine, except for the shooter usually says Data East on it. But when you get to the turn the machine on and bring up the graphics and the things like that, the copyright information does say Maverick, and it also says Sega. So you get a little bit of a crossover machine because it was built at a time when it was already been built by Data East, but it was released by Sega. So Sega makes machines for quite a few years, ending up their run with Harley-Davidson, of most recently, and that was like about last year. Harley-Davidson was very big, was one of their bigger machines, and they've been making a lot of different machines and under the Sega name. They had the Batman Forever and games like that. I'm kind of mixing my opinion about Sega pinball machines. I haven't really found one I really liked. They also made the trilogy, the Star Wars trilogy pinball machine. But they tried a few new things, which is neat. They did try to innovate a few things. And the most popular one, I guess, probably of their batch ended up being like South Park. That was probably one of the most popular pinball machines ever made. And I will say, I think it's a lot of play. Personally, I don't think it's that great of a game. But that's my own personal opinion. Your opinion might vary. That's the good thing about the internet. You can discuss what you want, and if you have a different opinion, you're welcome to display it. If somebody wants to write me an email or put together an audio clip as to why South Park is a great game, I'd be glad to hear it, or anything like that. I'd be glad to listen to it and air it. I would obviously be glad to add it to my show. So basically what happens is the son of Stern has decided to purchase the Sega. Wanted to get rid of their pinball division. They decided to sell it, And they sold it to the son of Stern. So Stern will be another will be a new name in pinball. Right now, it'll be the only name in pinball. So that'll be interesting to see. And Stern has made some comments that he doesn't like the pinball 2000 thing too much. It's pretty much given that he's going to go back to traditional pinball. So I assume he'll be sticking with the DMD dot matrix display type of pinball. So there we go. Well, there's not really much to say. Other than that, that's what I had planned for the show. It was the first show. It was the first attempt at doing it. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Hope you like listening to it. If you have any additional things you want to put into to a show, please let me know. All the information I've just spoke about here, there'll be a links page off of the pins and vids, and you can off the pins and vids web page. The show and the web page are being hosted by Tony Burry of down in Louisiana. I've met Mr. Burry. Tony has been he's a very strong opinions of things. He's a great guy. I gotta tell you. But he he can come off a little rough sometimes, and that's what happened. If you're really an old timer in this in the video range, you'll know Mr. Burry's name very well. He was not a very popular guy for a while. Let's go that far. But let me tell you, Tony's a great guy. Really loves the hobby. He's done a lot for the hobby and a lot for the people in the hobby. And I think he's a great guy. So like I said, your opinions may vary in anything I say, but he's helping us out. He's making the show possible. And I'd like to thank everybody who I've dealt with over the last couple of years. It's been a great, fun thing to do. Great hobby, and I will continue in it for some time. And I hope everybody else that's interested and wants to be part of this show will be. I have a couple people who are planning to interview, and we'll see how it goes, okay? So thank you very much for listening and downloading, and just keep those games coming and have a good time. Thank you very much, and I hope you guys really enjoy this, and I hope it goes on to be lots and lots of additional shows, and we'll go from there, okay? So we'll just close the same music we started with. We'll just start off with the we'll put on the Black Knight music and go back out of that. Thanks. Bye.